Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to start again in Psalms chapter 78. Psalms 78. And I'm in a series on limiting God, and specifically how that we need to remove all limits that may be in our lives concerning God and Him working in our lives. God doesn't want to be limited in my life, and I don't want God limited in my life. And I don't want to see God limited in our church. So what are some of the things that can limit God is what we're looking at. And this came out of a message during our Jubilee, our sanctified week. And I'm just following through with what I believe the Lord said to us. So that's found in Psalm 78. And I want to begin again in verse 37. Speaking of Israel here, their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. Their heart wasn't right with God, nor were they steadfast in His covenant. And verse 41 is where we see that they limited the Holy One of Israel. And that's what we do not want to do, is limit God in our lives. So we're talking about no limits, no limits with God now. And we've come to the place of the heart. And you can limit God in your life if you don't understand your heart, if you don't understand the role of the heart or the importance of your heart in your walk with God. I'm telling you, everything begins and ends with your heart when it comes to God. It is amazing when your heart is right with God, how many things you can be messing up in, and there's just this great love and mercy that's all over you. And yet there are times if your heart's not right with God, you can even be doing some good things, but if your heart's not right, it limits God in your life. And again, personally, this is everything to me. My entire ministry is an overflow of my heart. I envy preachers that can tell you what they're going to preach 8 months from now. That's impossible with me. I envy preachers that you can come up to and say, would you teach this tonight? And you can just give them anything and they can do it. I can't do that. I can only teach and share what's in my heart and in abundance, because my entire ministry is an overflow of what's in my heart. And that's been good, and it's beneficial, but it also can limit how God can use me as well. And so I'm working on some things there. I'm just excited that I have an outline. I preached without an outline for 28 years, and at least I had an outline. They used to ask me for an outline, and I'd say, I'll have it when I'm done preaching. That's when I got the outline. And I know that's just plain weird, but it's true, that I would come many times and not know exactly what I'm going to share till I get through. And then, wow, that was good. We need to write it down and put it in an outline. Amen. Well, maybe some of you didn't think it was good. But anyway, it was good. Bottom line is, we need to look at the heart. And we need to understand the heart. Because Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says that we need to keep our heart, guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of our life. And so the heart is powerful and important in our walk with God. Well, Jesus talked about the heart a lot, and I'm just going to give some highlights of some things Jesus said about our hearts, and then we're going to look at what does the Bible say about the heart in defining the heart. So the first thing I want to bring to your attention is Mark chapter 8, verse 17. This is where Jesus rebuked the disciples for the hardness of their heart. He said, you have a hard heart. They begin to panic, and they thought they were going to go hungry. And Jesus had just fed days before thousands of people with a little boy's lunch, and they had already forgot. And Jesus said, have you yet hardened your heart? Do you have a hard heart? Don't you remember the loaves and the fishes? And quite frankly, that astounds me. I mean, if you're with a guy that takes a little boy's lunch and feeds 10,000 men alone or 5,000 men alone and probably 10,000 people, you're not going to be worried about food tomorrow. Can I get a witness? Unless you just plain old forget. You're not even thinking about it. And that's one of the ways you harden your heart. In Hebrews chapter 4, the scriptures teach us that sin can harden our heart. And that's why as believers, we want to stay and be quick to repent for any kind of sin and not stay in it. We may fall in it. We may stumble. All of us do. But you don't want to stay in something that's against God, because it hardens the heart. Well, forgetting what God did for you a week ago hardens your heart. If you want to keep a sensitive heart, just think about all the good God's done for you throughout your life, and it'll keep your heart sensitive. And we'll talk about that later. Mark chapter 7, verse 20 through 23, Jesus said that it is not what you're eating that defiles you. It's not what goes in you that's defiling you, but it's what comes out of you that defiles you. And then he makes these horrible statements about the heart and what can come out of the heart and the bad stuff that comes out of our hearts. And so it's not what you're eating that defiles you, but it's what's coming out of your heart that defiles you. And so we need to be mindful of that. And people get caught up in all kinds of things. And if you're a vegan, I love you, and I'm not against you. I would never preach against you or be against you in any way. If you want to eat animal food, I'm cool with that. And I don't see what's wrong, though, with me eating meat. And people think I'm defiling myself if I'm eating meat. Jesus was clear. It's not what you eat that defiles you. It's what's coming out of your heart that's defiling you. And so, again, I'm cool with you eating animal food. I'm not diminishing the animal food supply. I love the animals, and so I want them to have plenty to eat. And so I let them eat the vegetables and green stuff, and then I eat the animals. Amen? And I'm not defiled because of eating meat. Jesus was clear on this. And you know, some things in the Bible are hard, but man, the simple stuff, let's keep it simple. It's not what you eat. What you eat, Jesus said, goes in your belly and out the drought. That's a nice way of saying it goes out the toilet. Amen. But what comes out of your heart can defile your entire destiny. So we need to guard the heart. We need to keep the heart with all diligence and make sure we put the right stuff in so the right stuff comes out. Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Now, I'm going to say some things about the heart a little bit later today, but I need you to remember this. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, we all say things that didn't come out of an abundance of our heart. Every one of us have said something, and the minute we said it, that's not our heart, and we wish we could grab it and take it back, and it's too late, it's gone. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, though, whatever is coming out in abundance is coming from your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And many Christians especially deceive themselves and convince themselves their heart is one way when their heart's not another way. And you can know what's in your heart in time if you'll listen to what you're saying. And I've done this before. I've struggled with my heart over issues, and so I have purposely listened to myself for a whole week, and I was shocked at the things that really were coming out of my mouth, but that's how I had to find out my own heart. My own heart can deceive me, but man, if I listen to me for a week, I'll know what's in my heart. If I hang out with you for a whole week, I could tell you what's in your heart in time by what's coming out your mouth according to what Jesus taught us. Now, that same verse or chapter, verse 12, verse 35, Jesus said there are good treasures in men's heart of good things and evil treasures of evil things in people's heart. There are things that are treasures to me that are good in my heart, and that in time comes out of my life. There are evil treasures that people harbor in their heart that in time brings evil out of their life. I made a statement even a few months ago, and I've made it in the past, and I know it probably goes over half the congregation's head, and because it's never the subject I'm teaching on, I just kind of let it go and move on. But I'll say something down the line of, look, if that condemns you, I'm not condemning you by what I say. It's not in my heart to condemn anybody. See, I know that I'm not condemning anybody because I know you are a good treasure. Every one of you are a good treasure in my heart. And I have got nothing but good in my heart for every single one of you. So if I'm ever sharing on something and you get uncomfortable or you feel condemned, I'm not condemning you. It's not in my heart to condemn you. There's no treasure of condemnation in my heart. That's your heart that's condemning you or the devil that's condemning you. I love you. I would die for some of you. And I just don't want to lie in the pulpit, or I'd go ahead and say I'd die for all of you. I don't know if that's true. I know I'd die for some of you, though, and I know I want to die for all of you. It's just the ones that didn't laugh earlier who I'm talking about. I don't know if I'd die for you. But I know I have no ill will in my heart toward any of you. I would never hurt you. I would never harm you. I would never condemn you or guilt you or manipulate you. I would do anything within my power to help you over anything. Why? because that's all that's in my heart. You are such a good treasure that's in my heart. I know when I minister to you, I will nothing but good for you. And I got that from Jesus out of chapter 12 of Matthew, verse 35. The next thing that Jesus talked about is Matthew 5:8. He said that you were blessed. Blessed is he that has a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see who? How many people even come to church and want to see God? How many people want to live their lives? And I have them talk to me and they'll say, man, I just want to see God in my life. I want to see God in my children. I want to see God in our world. And I'm struggling. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you're having a hard time seeing God, it's a condition of your heart. And you need to understand what it means to have a pure heart and to maintain a pure heart. Pure there doesn't mean holy. Even though we'll talk about holy hearts, that's not what it's talking about. I grew up in Orlando, Florida, and we lived in the orange groves. And orange juice was very, very huge where I grew up. And most of the cartons and orange juice that you buy that comes out of Florida, it'll say on the carton, 100% pure orange juice. Well, now, is that saying that Florida's orange juice is holy and Georgia's isn't? Amen. Sorry, I thought that was funny. No, it's not talking about the orange juice is holy. It means that it has nothing added to it or nothing taken away. It's 100% pure orange juice. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those that aren't trying to add stuff to their focus on God or take stuff away from their focus on God. Blessed are the single of heart that just have their mind truly on the Lord. They're going to see God. Now, years ago, a family got out with me. I honestly don't remember who it was. So if it was you and you've come back, just be cool. I never told anybody it was you. Nobody knows it's you. But if you jump up mad, we'll all know I'm talking about you. So be cool, because I really don't remember who this was. But they came up to me and they said, Pastor, when we came to church here, every service we saw God. We felt God. We could see God moving here and see God moving there. But we just don't see God in our church anymore. And this is what's wrong with our church. And this is bad. And this is wrong. And I didn't mean any harm by this. I just didn't think. I responded straight out of the abundance of my heart. I got excited because they're saying they're not seeing God. And I just knew what their problem was. And so before I could think, I said, hey, we can fix this. You just need to get your heart right. Yeah, they responded about like some of you. They didn't want me to say it was their heart that was out of whack. They wanted me to agree, yeah, our church is messed up here and messed up here and messed up here. And if I'll go fix it, they'll get to see God again. No, blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. I still see God. And do we have problems? Yes. I still see God. And are people a mess? Yes. I still see God, and are there issues? Yes. Why do I see God? My focus is on God. And so I'm able to see him in the bad. I'm still able to find him in the problem, et cetera, et cetera. So if you want to see God, dear ones, keep your heart pure, because blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Now here's where it gets a little rough. Everybody say, I love Brother Dwayne. Matthew 6:21, and remember, always remember, I didn't write the Bible. Don't get upset at me. Get upset at God. Amen? Get upset at Jesus. They're big boys. They can handle it. Jesus is the one that said in Matthew 6:21 that where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart is also. Now, I didn't say that, but I believe that with all my heart. If you want to know where your heart is, don't deceive yourself. Look at your family budget. Amen. Nod your head, act spiritual, fool your neighbor. Are all y'all getting it at the locations? Yeah, if you want it, where's my heart? I don't know where my heart is, so what do? I just look at my treasure, my money. Wherever my money is, that is really where my heart is. And you could look at my money that I spent last year, and you could look at me not even knowing my name or spending a minute with me, and you could tell me where my heart is. And I could look at your budget, and I could tell you where your heart is. Because wherever your treasure is, Jesus said this. I didn't say this, but Jesus said that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. Pastor, Man, my heart is with you and I love our church. Okay, let's go look at your giving records. Okay, this side's not doing very well. Pastor, I just love you and I'm with you and my heart is with our church. And well, Jesus said your treasure will be where your heart is. Okay, let's go this route. It works better if I just talk about me. If you wanted to know where my heart was, all you have to do is look at my finances, my personal finances. And you would discover a couple of things real quick, big time things. You would discover immediately, my God, this guy loves the church and the kingdom of God, and he puts a lot of his percentage of his money in the kingdom of God. But then the second thing you would see immediately is, my God, this guy loves to hunt. This guy loves to hunt. And it's the truth. I can't hide it because I'm telling you, every dime I can hide from Sue goes into shotgun shells, 243 shells, guns, black powder, a hunting license in Texas. I literally, all year long, I'll get my allowance from Sue. This sounds worse than it really is, but she handles the finances, so I'll get my allowance from Sue, and I will literally hide money all year long so that I can buy hunting stuff. I remember years ago, Sue meant well and I meant well. I just speak from my heart most of the time, and I don't think it out and try to find the answer you want if you ask me a question. That's why I don't want to be around too many people too long, because if you ask me a question, I'm stupid. I think you want the answer. I didn't think people would ask you questions wanting you to lie to them to make them feel good or confirm their error or whatever they're thinking. I just thought people ask a question, they want an answer. And so Sue asked me one time, she says, how many guns do you need? And I didn't think, it just came out. I don't know, how many shoes do you need? How many of you know need has nothing to do with it? It's want. It's desire. It's my heart. Because, I mean, I can open Sue's closet and, man, I'm glad I got good insurance. That'll hit the rest of you later. It's more dangerous going into her closet than my closet that's full of guns. I didn't write the Bible. I wish I did. But Jesus said, you want to know where your heart is? Look at where your money goes. Because it's a true discernment of your heart every time without exception. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This was Jesus' first message. And your first public message as the Messiah must be important. And so what does he say in his first message? He stands up in the synagogue and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bring deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to heal the brokenhearted. Why is healing the brokenhearted a top priority with Jesus? Because if your heart gets broke, you can't contain and retain the things of God. And life has a way of breaking all of us. Can I get a witness? Man, there's things that people go through that my heart goes out to them because it devastates them in their heart. You know, a divorce can break your heart, especially, again, an unwanted divorce. The loss of a child, I can't even wrap my heart around that and the brokenness of that. I lost my brother when I was 16, 17 years old. And the brokenness was, it was indescribable. And it ruined me. That broken heart literally ruined my life for a season. And it wasn't until I got it healed that my life turned around. And so a broken heart has to be understood. And we have to understand the power of God to heal all the brokenness that we all go through. Good people go through hard stuff. And it can damage you inside. And just like if you break this cup, it's retaining the water right now. But if we crush it and we break it and crack it, then I can pour water in it all day long, and it's just going to run out. And this is why a lot of people said in church, they're good people, they love Jesus, but they just don't retain and contain the things of God. It's like, I'm trying to figure out right there how to say this as politely as possible, but we all know of people that sit in church for 10 years and nothing changes. Why is that? How can you sit under the Word of God and the anointing of God and the Holy Ghost moving and working and it not affect you? Broken heart is one of many ways. And so Jesus wants to heal our broken hearts. Scriptures refer often to serving God with our whole heart. And so those are the things I'm going to get into. If the scriptures say serve God with your whole heart, then it's possible to be serving God half-heartedly. If the scriptures say serve the Lord with all your heart, then it's possible to serve God with part of your heart. And we need to understand that. And how do we fix that within the grace of God? So we're going to be talking about today, what is the heart? How to enlarge the heart? How to change the heart? How to guard and keep the heart? Those are the things we're going to cover over the next few weeks, and even know what's in the heart. Now, all of us have said this before, if they only knew my heart. I knew it would get there. If people only knew my heart. I'll be honest with you, years ago, this was a big hang up with me personally. Is I would try to do the work of the ministry, try to help people. They would turn on me or go out and lie. You know, I always got entertained at people that would come to talk to me and they would say, would you keep my confidence? And I say, sure, you have confidentiality with me. And they would tell me all this stuff and then they'd get mad at me and leave, but they didn't keep my confidence. Come on. And then worse yet, they would say, I said when I didn't say. And those things hurt. And so you're struggling, and I can remember going home, and I thank God that Sue understands covenant, unbreakable agreement, called marriage. And I would just go, I just don't believe this, man, if they only knew my heart. And for a while, Sue would go, that's okay, grow up, baby. She would console me a little bit. But there were times that I'd even go to the elders and I'd be whining and going, why don't people know my heart? Can't people, if they just knew my heart. Man, it took a revelation from God to change me in that. And when I got it, man, I'd never have said that since, because people can't know your heart. They cannot know your heart. They can only know what you do as a reflection of your heart. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11, it says, and we teach this in the academy to all your children, he says, even a child, everybody say even. Even a child is known by his, whether his work be pure or whether it be what? Right. So even a child is known not by his heart, but by his. Now, we're not talking about, again, you did a piece of stupid. We all do pieces of stupid. We all have a bad hair day and we did something dumb. Can I at least get a quick witness or do I have to preach at you? Let's all agree we do dumb things. All of us do. He's not talking about that. He's talking about, though, what is the consistent testimony of your life? I can't know your heart. You can't know my heart. But watch what I do consistently. That's a reflection of my heart. Well, he just doesn't like poor people. You don't know my doings if you thought that of me. You don't have to know my heart for the poor. Look at what I've done for 28 years for the poor. I can't always know your heart, but I can look at your life and your doings, and that is a reflection in time of your heart. And so we need to work on these things. Okay, what is the heart? What is the heart? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, defines our heart and what our heart is. And I'm going to tell you up front, this is controversial. I don't know why. I'm not concerned why. I just want to teach you the Word of God. This is what God has done in my life. I'm going to verify everything I say. And this is a blessing and has blessed thousands of people. And so the other three services were just very blessed with this. So open your heart and at least listen. In Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says, for the word of God is quick. One translation says alive. It's a living thing. The word of God is quick. It's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even. Everybody say piercing even. It is so sharp. It is so powerful. God's word. It will even pierce or piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner, everybody say discerner, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Your heart is the combination of your spirit and your soul. Your heart, and I'm going to show you some more scriptures on this, is your inner man. It is made up of the spirit and the soul, and only God's word and God's word only can divide your heart. Psychiatrists cannot divide your heart. The preacher cannot divide your heart. Your parents cannot divide your heart. But God's word is so sharp. It's so powerful. It's so alive. It will pierce even the dividing asunder of your soul and your spirit. See, the writer is trying to give us an example of the hardest thing in the universe to divide, to show you how sharp God's word is, to show you how powerful God's word is in our lives. If I had a knife, a natural knife, and I wanted to sell it as the sharpest knife on the planet, how would I sell that to you? I would find the hardest thing to cut, and I would say, this knife is so powerful. This knife is so sharp, it'll pierce even asunder this, and go, phew, and cut it in half, and you'd go, how can I get me some of them knives? Amen? That's how I would sell it. How is God going to convince us how powerful His word is, how sharp it is, how alive it is? It will even pierce. So He picks the hardest thing in the universe to divide. That's the spirit and the soul, which is your heart, your inner man. Amen. And I'm going to explain that in detail as we unravel it. But I want to show you an illustration, a picture. Because remember, you see in pictures. So here's the heart, here's the word, and here's how it works. This is your heart. This is God's word, the sword of the spirit with a two-edged sword. And it'll even pierce asunder or divide the heart, the soul, and the spirit, the joints and thoughts, marrow and intents. See, He put joints and thoughts in that passage under your soul. He put marrow and intents under your spirit. And so I want to explain those. The Bible teaches we're three parts, and then in other places in the Bible, it teaches we're two parts. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, the scriptures say, I pray the God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who promised, who will also do it. Do what? Present me complete and holy to the Father of God, spirit, soul, and body. Aren't you glad while salvation starts in your spirit, God's working on your soul, and you even have a promissory note of a new body at the resurrection? Jesus is going to present me to the Father, perfect in spirit, perfect in soul, and perfect in body at His second coming and by His second coming. Now, you're three parts. You're a triune being created in the image and in the likeness of a triune God. Hear you, O Israel, the Lord our God is one in three distinct separate manifestations, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We do not serve three gods. We serve one God in three manifestations, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You're not three people, no matter how much that is debatable after we talk to you. Boy, some of you are awake, hallelujah, but I mean, you're not three people. You're one person, spirit, soul, and body. That's how we can dissect you with the Word of God. On the other hand, the Bible teaches you're two parts, and I'll show you these scriptures in just a moment on this one. It says you have an inner man and an outer man, and your inner man is two parts, your spirit and your soul. That's your heart. Your outer man is your body, your temple, what you live in temporarily on this earth. On this earth. So again, now we have an inner man and outer man, two parts. I'll come back to this. Let's go back to the chart. Now, you got a heart and a picture of a heart, and you got soul on this side, spirit on this side. Under the soul is joints. What does a joint do? A joint connects things. A joint connects things. Now, watch this. You are spirit, soul, and body. You are spirit, soul, and body. The soul is in the middle. The soul joins the spirit and with the spirit, and the soul has the ability to join the body or the flesh or the natural. The spirit world is real. I don't know what group many of you grew up under, and so we don't want to go there, but there is a spirit world, and it's very real. The kingdom of God is here, but you can't see it with these eyes, but it's real. It's here. And there's a spirit world, listen, and a physical world, a natural world. These two worlds never intersect. They run parallel. They never intersect. The spirit can't operate in the natural, and the natural can't operate in the spirit. But the soul is a joint. It joins the two realms. My soul can either be spiritually minded, joined to the spirit, or carnally minded, joined to the flesh. The flesh and the spirit can't mix. Boy, maybe you got something right there. Because once you begin to understand that, now you know how important your soul and the renewing of your mind is to get the spirit over into the natural. And so it's a joint. It joins the two realms. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. So see, the soul is a joint. Number two, under the soul, according to Hebrews chapter 4 there, are your thoughts. Your thoughts are coming out of your soul. But now look at the spirit side of your heart. He said, marrow. Marrow is under spirit. Now, that's interesting that the word marrow would be used in connection to the heart, specifically the spirit. Your bone marrow is what produces your blood. They've discovered that many of the cancers today come from something wrong in the marrow, and you have to have a bone marrow transplant because it's producing those renegade cells that we call cancer. And so, again, the marrow produces blood. What does the Bible say about blood? Where is life? The Bible says life is in the blood. And that's not hard to figure out. Take your blood out of you, you're dead. I mean, life's in your blood. And marrow is producing the blood. So what is he saying? He's saying, listen to every Christian. The power of the Christian life doesn't come from your body or your soul. It comes from your spirit. The strength of the Christian life, the things that are life to us, come from the spirit, not the soul. And this is what's wrong with many Christians. They're trying to live their life out of their soul instead of renewing their soul to the spirit and living out from the spirit. And that's called maturity and development in the kingdom of God. Many, many times, even the pastors, myself, I'm not doing what it takes to get you to that place of understanding. This is where life comes from. Jesus said, the flesh profits you nothing. It's the spirit that gives life. So this, you've got to understand what this is and where this is and where you are in your spirit, because this is the part of you that got born again. This is the part of your heart that got changed. This is the part of your heart that is righteous and truly holy. This is the part of your heart that is a new creation. And you've got to understand that. This has to be renewed to what this already has in order for this to dominate this and now your life. Notice he said intents fell under spirit. I'm not the only one. Everybody can identify with this. That you do something and the minute you did it, you went, that was not my intent. See, you knew what was right. That came from the spirit. But in the execution of trying to do what was right, your dumb head got in the way. I'm sorry, your unrenewed mind got in the way. And you did something that the minute you did it, you knew you didn't want to do that. You can trust your spirit. Your spirit will never lead you astray. Your spirit always knows what's right. Your spirit always knows what to do and that is right to do. It's just you got to get the mind renewed to release that spirit so that you do what you intend to do. Not have to say what I've said many times. Man, I didn't intend to do that. My intention was this. That's my spirit. But what happened? It got messed up in my head. A part of my heart is what caused me to stumble. So now let's look at two parts. You've got an inward man and an outer man. Two parts. Here's some scriptures. I need to fly through them because of time constraints. Ephesians 3:16, Paul is praying. And he says that we would be strengthened with might. Strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. So see, we got to pray to be strengthened with might in the inner man. I need to be strengthened in my heart, a part that's called the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Romans 7:22, I love this scripture. And many people have never really meditated on this. But look at what he says. I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Your inward man, if you're born again, your inward man is your heart, which is your spirit and your soul, and your spirit delights in the Word of God. When I say the Word of God, when I share the Word of God, when I communicate the life of God's Word, it's your spirit that leaps within you. It's your spirit that, oh man, that's right, that's good. And you delight in that. It's your man that wars with the Word of God, not your spirit. Amen. It's your soul, that part of your heart, unrenewed part of your heart. It's an enmity against God. It's not subject to God, neither indeed can be. And that's why sometimes we feel so bad. It's like we love the Word of God, we believe it, but then we got this war going on the inside of us. Boy, am I the only one that struggles with things? Man, my inward man and the part of my inward man that delights in the Word of God is my spirit. My spirit loves the Word of God, but sometimes in my head, my unrenewed mind, I don't like what that said. I don't agree with that. Amen. And I don't get mad at the preacher because I am the preacher. But I don't like what I have to say a lot of times either in my unrenewed mind. I hear myself preaching sometimes and I'm thinking, man, I don't like that. I know they don't. What part of my heart's doing that, my soul? What part of my heart's saying, get them, sick them? My spirit. Y'all have never heard that when I'm preaching? Get them, sick them. That's the Spirit of God. He tells me, get you. And thank you. You're being sweet now. 2 Corinthians, that was your spirit, not your dumb head. See, the Word of God will discern. If I keep on a roll here, eventually I'll teach you how you take the Word of God to discern, is that my spirit or is that my soul? The Word of God will discern for you. That was your spirit. That was your soul. That's what it does. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, he says we have an inward man and it's being renewed day by day and an outer man that's decaying. So listen, I have an inward man that's being renewed day by day. What is that? That's my soul. My spirit is already recreated in the knowledge and in the image of God. My spirit is perfected forever. My spirit is righteous and truly holy. That part of my heart is the part that God saved, that God sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And it's my soul that's being renewed now every day to what God's already done in my spirit. And it's my outer man that's perishing. And I love you, but some of you argue with me about this, and I don't know what's wrong with your brain. I love you, but how could you argue with me about your outer man is perishing? You don't have any high school pictures. That's the only thing I can think of. You burned all your high school pictures. Because if you had high school pictures, you'd know I'm telling you the truth. If you don't have any, go find some people you graduated from high school, and as soon as you see them, you'll know the outer man is decaying. But the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, here's where God spoke to me and changed my life on this issue and taught me spirit, soul, heart, and how it all works. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. This is where Peter is encouraging a wife on how to reach a husband that's not real bright. Okay, the scriptures say he won't obey the word. That's a husband that's not real bright. So how do you win him? You don't win him over by nagging him, condemning him, and beating him. Amen? Come on, men, get some guts. You don't win a guy over that way. So Peter's teaching her how to win a husband that's not following Jesus. The rules are the same for a husband to win over a wife, too. We have husbands that serve God here, and their wives are not saved. And so it's the same principle. And man, have people gotten hung up on this passage? This is the simplest passage in the Bible, and it's killed more churches. He's talking about to the ladies, be more conscious of your inner man and putting it on versus your outer man to reach your husband. So who's adorning? Talking to the ladies. Let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. I grew up in a church where this passage was used, I mean, to really beat the women. It was terrible. And how you can't see the simplicity of that verse is beyond me. He's not saying women can't wear gold or jewelry. He's not saying you can't wear pants. He's not saying you can't wear makeup. Look, I'm your pastor. I don't care what the Bible says. Wear makeup. Amen. Just don't fall in it, amen? We want to know who you really are. But that's crazy to preach that kind of stuff. Because if you look at it in the context, if a woman can't plait her hair or cut it, she can't wear jewelry, he said don't put on any clothes either. I ain't preaching that. I am not going to tell the ladies to not put anything on. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about reaching a husband that's not obeying the word of God. Because look at the next verse. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. Instead of working on your outer man, let it be the hidden man of the heart that you put on. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet what? Which in the sight of God is of great price. Man, that is a powerful scripture. He said you have a hidden man in your heart. And whatever this hidden man is, or whoever this hidden man is, it is a meek and quiet spirit. And it is incorruptible. Man, you talk about good news. If people really would get a hold of it by the Spirit. As your pastor, I've gotten a hold of it. And that's why I can love you no matter what you've done. Did you know if you sin as a New Testament believer, that did not come out of your spirit. Amen. And that didn't corrupt your spirit. Amen. Your spirit man, the hidden man of your heart, is incorruptible. Peter went on to say in that same book that we are born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. That is really good news. Now, that doesn't justify sin or that doesn't minimize the deadliness of sin in our lives, but it does say that's why we can run straight to God and that's why you can come to me. It wouldn't matter what you've done. I still love you, and it didn't come out of your spirit. That's your flesh. And I need to teach you how to overcome it, not condemn you. Amen. And so I don't want to have to explain all that. All I'm trying to say is there's a hidden man of your heart, and he told you what the hidden man was. It's your spirit. And it's not corruptible. Amen. That part of your heart is what got born again. That part of your heart is sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. That part of your heart is perfect forever. Amen. Sanctified forever. Man, that just excites me. I'm sorry. I really get excited about that. Because I got some problems in 2/3 of me. But the good news is 1/3 of me is fixed. And I just have to renew the middle of me, my soul, and my body will just come along. And my life will be changed. Let me give it to you in Oklahoma, Texas talk. 2/3 of you is going to rule your life. The spirit is fixed by God Almighty, born again, and in union with Christ himself. Your flesh is decaying. It ain't any good. It never will get any better. There's one guy that gets the final vote. If this guy votes with the spirit, the soul and the spirit, the heart override the body. If this guy votes with the body and the soul will override the spirit. It's just that simple. We ate a lot of watermelon this summer, and we've had the grandkids a lot. And there's something about eating watermelon that's a little bit irritating. I have discovered there are hidden seeds in the melon. I've discovered a watermelon's three parts. It's only one melon, but it's three parts. You've got the rind, the melon, and the seeds in the melon. And the seeds in the melon are hidden. And if you don't dig them out, you're going to have some issues. I don't even want to go there. Bottom line is, a melon is a melon, and yet it has three distinct separate parts, and the part that is hidden is the seeds. You are three parts, spirit, soul, and body, and the part that's hidden is your spirit. It's the hidden man of your heart, that which is not corruptible, a meek and quiet spirit. In Romans chapter 2, we're going to go down to verse 28 because of time constraints. And it says, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." See, in the context of the scriptures, it'll tell you what part of the heart it's talking about when it mentions heart. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it tells you it's the hidden man of the heart and it's not corruptible. That's your spirit. In Romans chapter 2, it says there's a part of your heart that's been circumcised and it's your spirit, not in your flesh. Other passages, though, in the scripture, when it mentions heart, is talking about your soul. And that's why we have to get the context and we have to understand that the heart is not always just spirit. And it's not always just soul. It can be spirit in some cases and spirit only. It can be soul in some cases and soul only. And in some cases, it means both soul and spirit. And you have to be taught that. And if you don't get this, I promise you, you're going to struggle. I struggled for a long time till I got this straight. But once I got this straight, man, I was able to work on my heart and I knew what I was doing. Jesus said in John chapter 3, and everybody knows it in this body of believers for sure, that you've got to be born again to see the kingdom of God. And unless a man is born of water and born of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus was a preacher. Nicodemus was a teacher in Israel. And he said, born again? Can a man enter his mother's womb a second time and be born over? Yeah, that's just dumb. I don't mean to put Nicodemus down, but that, God, it's just a bad picture, period. Amen? And I love Jesus. Jesus was much nicer than me. If I'd have been Jesus, I'd have looked at Nicodemus and said, you're dumber than a rock. I'm not talking about entering your mama's womb a second. That's just dumb. And yet, that's how we think, though, natural. And then he went on to say, that which is flesh, and that which is spirit. And we read that and we just draw a blank. What he's saying is, flesh can only produce flesh and nothing but flesh. Amen. Flesh cannot produce spirit. Amen. And listen, spirit can't produce flesh. Amen. That which is flesh. And that which is spirit. And so the new birth is being born of the spirit. And spirit can only reproduce spirit. Your born again spirit is born of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God can't produce anything but the Spirit of God. Your spirit is holy, righteous, godly. Because spirit can only reproduce spirit. And see, once you see that now, the effort and trying to get is over. I'm righteous and truly holy in my spirit. It's a done deal. Thank you for your grace, God. Now, the whole Christian life is renewing my mind to what God's already done in my spirit so that that can dominate my life. I'm oversimplifying it, but it is just that simple, and we complicate it. Again, I was taught, get the word in your spirit, get the word in your spirit. I'm not being critical. I'm trying to help us. Think about it for a minute. Get the word in your spirit. Saints, I love the Bible, okay? But there is nothing in this book that Jesus ain't. Jesus is this book with legs. Amen. Jesus is this book with arms. Amen. Jesus is this book with flesh. Amen. And where is Jesus? Where is Jesus by his spirit? He's in my spirit. Amen. Why would I be trying to get the word in my spirit if Christ is in me? Colossians 1:27 says, Christ is in me, the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. Your spirit is united to the spirit of Christ. So I don't need to get the word in my spirit. I need to get the word out of my spirit into my soul. Amen. You're not going to be changed by the renewing of your spirit. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 24 says you're going to see change in your life and put the old on and put the new on when you get renewed in the spirit of your mind. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because thou trustest in the Lord. Not your spirit. Your spirit's united to Jesus. It's your mind that's your problem. And I try to say it nice. I'll quit with this. Again, I'm not trying to get the word in my spirit. I'm trying to get it, the spirit of it, in my mind. And I'll try to teach that true mind renewal comes from within, not from without. There are people that take the Bible and what they mean when they say, well, I just got it in my head, I don't have it in my heart. What they're talking about is they just memorized it. They don't have the life of it. They don't have the spirit of it. And there's a difference. And if you've known Jesus very long, you know the difference between just reading this and memorizing it and going, the Bible says, and then reading it, and God Almighty that's on the inside of you writes on your mind His word. It changes you where you go, the word of God says. Not the Bible says. Y'all don't know these people. I love y'all so much. These people go to church and they're terrible. I'll quit with this. I'm sorry. I went over a little bit. I'll give you the references next week. I don't know where I lost my time. But I went to Bible school and I was dirt poor and some people helped pay my tuition. And man, I tell you, I was so grateful and thankful. I wasn't going to waste those people's money. I studied hard. I took 6 hours every day after 5 or 6 hours of classes. I took another 6 hours every day and went over every one of my notes and did research every single day. And so I took it very serious. And there was this guy in my class that slept every day. He slept. He's asleep. The whole class. And I wasn't near as refined as I am now. My heart was right. But months went by, every day asleep. And he sat right next to me. And I just couldn't help myself. I just woke him up. And I said, man, I just need to understand something. Why are you here? I'm going to school, dude. Well, no, you're here, but you're not going to school. Why are you sleeping? Oh, dude, I don't have to be awake. I just got to be in here, and my spirit's getting it. And I meant, well, my heart was right. I looked right at him and said, your spirit doesn't need it. It's your dumb head that needs it. Amen. Amen. I mean, that is dumb. It's dumb to the second power. Saints, you can't go to bed at night and just put the Bible on your head and you're going to be renewed. People are weird. It's like they even think the Bible's got power. Like this is like, you remember the Dracula movies? I know none of you've watched them. But you know, you take the cross and Dracula just, ah! People think they can just take the Bible at the devil and go, ah. The devil knows this better than you do. But he doesn't have the life of it. And God hadn't taken his finger and wrote it on the tablets of his mind. But when God Almighty roasts your peanut, you will be changed forever. Ever. Man, that was good stuff, no matter how I didn't politely say it. That'll change you. And I'm going to elaborate on it, and I'm going to try to explain it more on how practically, how do we do this? Because every one of us want to see all of God's will in our lives. And yet, what's limiting God? This is what's limiting God the most, this part of your heart. Now, I got good news for those of you that are humble. You can just take your hand, every problem you have, just put your hands up like that right there. All those at the location, put your hands up. Every problem you have will fit right there. Were you blessed? Thank you, God. I'm going to dismiss all the locations to the resident pastors and the altar workers, and then I want to pray for you.